Public health. Go on. What's your theory?
All public health until 1900 was a mistake.
Oh my goodness. Where did you get that from?
No, I'm right. You'll see.
OK, explain. What about prehistoric public health?
Well, of course, prehistoric tribes were nomadic, so they didn't construct any public health provision.
And they had no concept of any link between dirt and disease. All disease was caused by the spirits.
Even in the Egyptian and Greek times, you know, I don't think there was any public health as such.
Really? The Egyptians had toilets and mosquito nets, and their priests kept clean for religious reasons. And the Greek had their programme for health and moderation in all things and showers.
Yes, but public health are works undertaken by the government, and this was all personal provision.
So the first real public health system was Rome?
The first substantial public health system.
And it was substantial.
And how? Rome had 9 aqueducts bringing 222 million gallons of water a day, 9 public baths covered with glass, marble and silver, and 7 huge sewers. The Cloaca Maxima was big enough for a wagon, public latrines seating up to 60 people, and the first ever hospitals, and commissioners to monitor the water, and 300 slaves to clean the streets at night, way ahead of their time.
And then everything stopped during the Middle Ages.
Ooh, you got to be careful. It couldn't be on the same scale as a Roman public health because medieval states weren't as big as the Roman Empire. But it's a myth that the Middle Ages were mindlessly filthy.
Really? Have you any evidence for this? There's loads of evidence that medieval towns were dirty.
Well, there's a huge amount of evidence for medieval public health. Many of our hospitals were built during the Middle Ages. Bart's Hospital in London. Monasteries had flash garter robes and running sewers and compulsory baths.
4 times a year.
I know, whether they needed it or not. But Paris had 26 bathhouses in 1292. You find that most of your evidence about how dirty medieval towns were comes from the laws they passed to keep the place clean. Venice quarantined infected ships and Southampton built the most amazing aqueduct.
OK, point proven. The Middle Ages had public health. What about the Renaissance?
Same kind of thing, really. There is evidence that early modern towns were dirty. Erasmus's letter describing a peasant house, for instance, with its rush floors full of spittle and vomit and urine. But at the same time, you only have to look at the measures taken in London during the plague of 1665. The bills of mortality and the examiners and rakers and the plague pits and pest houses to see that early modern towns had thorough systems of public health.
So why was the 19th century so filthy?
Population growth, I think. The systems that worked for small towns just got overwhelmed when you were talking about a metropolis of 2.3 million, which was the population of London in 1850.
So public health had to improve.
And did so.
Edwin Chadwick and the Public Health Act of 1848.
And compulsory smallpox vaccination in 1853. And Florence Nightingale and hospital hygiene and the Public Health Act of 1875, which enforced slum clearance.
So why do you say all public health before 1900 was a mistake?
What did Frontinus say about the aqueducts?
Go on.
Frontinus praised the aqueducts because, he said, they removed the causes of unhealthy air. He thought disease was caused by bad air. And that's why the kings ordered the streets to be cleaned in the Middle Ages. And even Chadwick ordered his public health measures to get rid of the miasmas he thought were making people ill.
So you're saying that the whole public health thing was based on a misconception until the germ theory?
A lucky mistake.
What an amazing idea. But after 1900, they were able to build public health systems knowing what they were doing.
More than that, public health before 1900 was based on the so-called preventative principle. The idea was that the government's job was to remove the nuisances which made people poorly. After 1900, it was based more on what was called the personal principle, the idea of positive measures to try and make people positively healthy. So, you get the liberal government of the 1900s bringing in things like free school meals and nitty nurses and free medical treatment for workers.
The idea that governments should care for people from the cradle to the grave.
Well, yes. And that, of course, was the principle which underlay the welfare state.
Lord Beveridge and his 5 giants. Social security to defeat poverty. The National Health Service to combat disease. Free education to end ignorance. Council housing to end squalor and, don't tell me. That's it. Full employment to end idleness.
And all brought in the 3 years after World War II.